Please be respectful to the Buddha by reciting Namo Dasa three times. Namo Dasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa. Namo Dasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa. Namo Dasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa. Today we will try to discuss about the dependent origination, the second noble truth, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. But that you had been already discerned ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality internally and externally both. At that time, you can continue to practice dependent origination. How you should try? If you want to understand dependent origination, there are different ways of teaching depending on the situation of the listeners. Some listeners, if they gain directly discern past causes, other than Buddha taught, vijja, vijja, sankhara, sankhara, vijja, vijnana, etc. With the arising of vijja, ignorance, sankhara, formations arise. With the arising of sankhara, formations, consciousness arise, etc. In this way, Buddha taught. For some meditators, if they discern Bhagavat, beginning, future, jati. Jati is but linking my moment in future life. And then the Bhagavad, if they discern, they can understand dependent origination. In this way also Buddha taught. For some meditators, if they practice from the middle, to the beginning, in this way if they discern dependent origination practice, and then they can easily understand. For some meditators, from the middle, they must go forward up to future life. And then they can understand dependent origination thoroughly. So Buddha taught in four ways. In Patisamvita Magga, especially Bhinnariva Sariputta taught another way. We call this is fifth method of Prajnasamuppada, dependent origination. Cause is one group, effect is one group. Past causes produce present effect, present causes will produce future effect. In this way, if they discern dependent origination, they can easily understand. So there are different ways of discerning dependent origination. There is one famous sutta, Hara Sutta, and Nidana Vagga Sanyutta. In that Nidana Vagga Sanyutta, Buddha taught the method how to discern dependent origination patterns from the middle. Middle means now you are accumulating wholesome dhammas. You may want to realize Nibbana in this very life, or you may want to become Arahat in this very life. But if you, although you may try hard, if you cannot become Arahat, you must accept one future existence. What do you want to be? This is the middle. For example, if you want to be bhikkhu, do you want to become bhikkhu? Okay? You should not try to become bhikkhu. Bhikkhu life is also full of suffering. Surely, delightful life also full of suffering. You should not try to become bhikkhu or bhikkhuni. If you want to become deva, more suffering. So if you want to be Brahma, it is a little bit good. A little bit good means Buddha never praised any life. Buddha always praised the end of life only. Final cessation. So if you want to become Brahma, for example, the sensual wholesome dhammas cannot produce to be reborn in Brahmatva. You must practice jhana dhammas. If you attain jhanas, then you must specialize one type of jhana which you prefer. For example, if you prefer bad jhana, some meditators, they like bad jhana because there is happiness. Some meditators, they like both jhana because there is no happiness feeling, only equanimous mind. So, the desire is not same to each other. If they like that jhana, then they should specialize this that jhana with four types of ajibada. Ajibada means accomplishments, they translate. There are four types of ajibada. Number one, chanda, desire. The desire must be very strong. Number two is warrior, effort. Effort also must be strong. Lazy persons cannot attain Brahmawal. Cannot attain jhana. Then number three is chaita. You should have strong mind, willpower. Number four is wisdom. In this case, you must penetrate, when you are practicing anapana, if you penetrate anapana patibhaga nimitta kaundapa sai, that penetrating knowledge is called wisdom. That wisdom must be strong, powerful. So there are four types of accomplishments. You must increase these four types of accomplishments when you are practicing that jhana or fourth jhana. Whenever you want to enter into that jhana or fourth jhana, you should try to enter into that jhana. Because in time of death, sufferings, painful feelings will appear. At that time, if you can concentrate on your jhana dhamma object, it is very easy to suppress this sufferings. But if you cannot concentrate well, then it is not sure. So because of this reason, if you had been practiced up to jhana stage, based on jhana, you must practice vipassana, at least up to sotapanna stage, supreme winner stage. Every sotapanna who attain jhana, they can maintain their jhana concentration not to fall down. Because of this reason, usually after vipassana, if they specialize one type of jhana, if they can maintain this jhana in time of death, they can be reborn in Brahmatva after death. If noble ones riya, such as sotapanna, etc., if they reborn in Brahmatva, they will never come back to this sensual world to be reborn as a deva or as a human being. They will be reborn in Brahmatva only. Is it good? In Brahmatva, there is no man, there is no woman. It is not necessary to marry. There is no son, there is no daughter. It is not necessary to be worried about sons, about daughters, about husband, about wife. Is it good? Good. So, you should try. You can be attain arhat stage in this Brahmatva only, in that Brahmatva only. So, one day it is sure, within 7 lives, you can attain arhatship and you can attain final cessation, pranibbana. So, if you want to become Brahma, for example. If you try hard jhanas, if you also adding jhana dhammas, then there are five causes. Number one is avijja, ignorance. What is ignorance? Please try to see, this is who? Who is this? This is Pausero. Is it true? If you believe this is Pausero, it is wrong. Why? According to Buddha's teaching, if you can take some four elements, not in this meditation retreat, there are some persons who can take some four elements thoroughly. If they can take some four elements meditation systematically one day, they can see their whole body begin transforming body. In that transforming body, if they can take some four elements again and concentrate on that four elements object, very soon this body will break into pieces or become small body gas. If they cannot become small body gas, other than they should emphasize akasa space. Space element means between kalabas there is boundary. That boundary is called space element. If they can see space, then very soon they can see small body gas. If they analyze these small body gas, in each body gas there are at least eight types of materiality, such as earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, color, odor, flavor, nutritive acid, etc. These are called ultimate materiality. These ultimate materiality, as soon as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. So there is no Pausero. If they understand this is Pausero, this is wrong understanding. That wrong understanding is called ignorance. In the same way, if they understand there is Brahma, according to Buddha's teaching, there is no Brahma. If they can discern four elements in Istanewa, if they can discern in Brahma body, four elements systematically, there is no Brahma, only just small body gas. If they analyze this small body gas, they can see only ultimate materiality. These ultimate materialities, as soon as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. So they are nature and permanent. There is no Brahma. There is no Deva. There is no human being. If they understand this is Deva, this is human being, this is Brahma, this is wrong understanding. That wrong understanding is called avijja, ignorance. If they have attachment to that Brahma light, this is called craving tanha. Repeated craving is called upadana kalinge. So altogether there are three defilements. Number one, avijja, ignorance. Number two, tanha, craving. Number three, upadana kalinge. These three are called defilement rounds, kilesa vada. Depending on these defilements, they accumulate horizontal such as third jhana or fourth jhana, etc. These jhana dhammas are called sankhara formations. Why they are called sankhara volitional formations? They can produce five future aggregates. So they are called sankhara. But these sankharas are jhana sankhara, such as the jhana or fourth jhana. These jhana sankhara dhammas are also anicca. As soon as they rise, they pass away very, very quickly. So they are anicca impermanent. But when they pass away, they left behind the karmic force, which can produce new future existence called Brahma five aggregates. That karmic force is called karma. These sankhara and karma, volitional formations and karmic force are called karma vada. karma wrong. So all together there are five causes. Avijja, Tanha, Upadana, Sankhara, and Karma. You should first discern these five together. How you should discern? First, you must, if you want to meditate, then you should sit. Before sitting, you should re-establish your third jhana concentration or fourth jhana concentration. Then, imagine from that third jhana or fourth jhana, you should wish for to become Brahma in future life. Then, please meditate again. Then, you should re-establish this jhana again. Imagine from this jhana, you should discern ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, both internally and externally both. After discerning ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality, internally and externally, you should discern Bhagava. Bhagava means, as soon as you sit, you re-establish your third jhana. After that jhana or fourth jhana, imagine from that jhana, you wish for to become Brahma. When you are wishing for to become Brahma, how many mental formations are there? Then you should try to discern these formations. Then you can see defilement round formations. Usually there are 20 mental formations. If you want to understand what are these 20, please practice practically. So these 20 formations arise according to cognitive process. That cognitive process is mind-cognitive process. Mind-advertising, mind movement, there are 12 mental formations. In each jhana, there are 7 jhana mind movements. Jhana means impulsion, they translate. There are 7 impulsion mind movements. In each mind movement, usually there are 20 mental formations. Including avijja, ignorance, craving, tanha, and clinging, upadana. So these are defilement rounds, kilesa, vada. Depending on this defilement round, you accumulate jhana wholesome dhammas, such as third jhana or fourth jhana dhammas. You should discern this third jhana or fourth jhana dhammas again. If you can discern this third jhana dhammas and fourth jhana, when you are sitting at the beginning of your meditations, then this jhana dhammas are called sankhara, volitional formations. But they are anicca. These jhana dhammas are anicca. As soon as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. So they are anicca in 1 minute. But they left behind the karmic pose. You should try to see this karmic pose. This karmic pose is like anusya, latent tendency. For example, now you are listening my dhamma talk. At that time, you have no anger. But one day, when you meet any opportunity to arise anger, then anger may arise. We can say that your anger is as an underlying tendency follow after the your mentality and materiality series. In the same way, that coming post also like anusaya, latent tendency, underlying tendency. You should try to see this coming post. How you should try? Please try to discern that channel. Dhammas or fourth jhana dhammas again and again. As soon as they arise, they pass away. When that they pass away, they left behind the karmic force energy. That karmic force you should try to see. Then if you try to see in this way again and again, then you will understand karmic force. Altogether, there are how many causes? 5 causes. Avijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, upadana, clinging, sankhara, formations, and karma, karmic force. This is proximate past mentality, materiality. If you can discern this proximate past mentality and materiality, then please go on forward to discern ultimate materiality mentality before meditation sitting. Mentality, materiality, then this morning, materiality, mentality, yesterday, mentality, materiality, etc. In this way, slowly you should emphasize only mentality and materiality. If you discern in this way, ultimate materiality and mentality, sometimes your mind is always emphasized concepts. Concept means pinyati. This is me, this is woman, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my son, this is my daughter, etc. In this way, always your mind is used to accept perceptions, concepts. These concepts are called pinyati. So because of this reason, when you are discerning ultimate mediality, mentality, bhagwa, you may sometimes see your pictures. At that time also you should discern four elements in your picture. Then you will see small particles. At that time, please analyze these small particles. Then you can discern ultimate mentality. Then please continue to discern ultimate mentality. When you are discerning ultimate mentality, please emphasize your heart base. Depending on your heart base, mind do and six do cognitive process usually arise. In the same way, life continuity, bowing up mind movement also arise depending on your heart base. So because of this reason, when you are discerning ultimate materiality and mentality, please emphasize your heart. Inside your heart base, you can see 54 types of, inside your heart, you can see 54 types of materiality as well as mentality which arises depending on your heart phase. In this way, if you discern ultimate materiality and mentality slowly, then you will see as a child, there are also ultimate materiality, mentality, and then slowly in our mother's womb. In our mother's womb, also you should try to discern ultimate materiality and mentality. Whenever you see pictures, you should discern four elements in that picture. Then you can see only small particles. At that time, please analyze these small particles. Then you can see ultimate materiality and mentality again. In this way, if you try, then you may be able to discern ultimate materiality and mentality in time of patisanti mind moment. But linking mind moment, conception stage. At that time also you should try to discern ultimate materiality and mentality. For human beings, at that time first conception stage, but linking mind moment, there are three types of kalabas. Heart jagat kalapa, body jagat kalapa, and sex determining jagat kalapa. All together, three types of kalapas, 30 types of rupas. Ultimate mentality, when you are discerning ultimate mentality, and then not but linking mind moment, usually many meditators, they can discern 34 mental formations. These 34 mental formations, if we analyze them, there is feeling. That feeling is the clinging aggregate of feeling. There is also perception. That perception is the clinging aggregate of perception. The remaining 31 mental formations are the clinging aggregate of formations. Then consciousness is the clinging aggregate of consciousness. Altogether, there are four mental aggregates. Then, 30 types of materiality are the clinging aggregate of materiality. Altogether, in time of birth, linking, mind, moment, there are five clinging aggregates. These five aggregates are what noble truth. The noble truth of suffering, dukkha, sitya, dhammas. This is the beginning. Beginning stage of our life. So, if you want to discern this, the cause of these five aggregates, how you should try? Before you are trying, I want to ask you one question. The noble truth of suffering is dukkha sitya. The noble truth of the origin of suffering is samudaya sitya. Dukkha is sitya is effect. Samudaya sitya is the cause. There are two types of noble truths, sityas. Cause and effect. Because of the rising of causes, the effects arise. If it is so, cause must be succeeding or preceding. Effect must be succeeding or preceding. Please consider carefully. How do you think? Cause must be succeeding or preceding. Preceding. Okay. If it is so, in our life, but linking my moment, what is the beginning? There are five aggregates. These five aggregates are the noble truth of suffering. Because in the Dhammacakka Bodhana Sutta, etc., Buddha talks, Sankhet Jena Pinchu Bharanekanda Dukkha. In brief, five aggregates of clinging are Dukkha Sitya Dhammas. So they are Dukkha Sityas. Then, these Dukkha Sityas Dhammas are produced by Samudaya Sitya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Then that Samudaya Sitya cannot be in this very life. That Samudaya Sitya must be in the past life only. Do you understand? If you cannot discern past five aggregates, how you can understand past Samudaya Sitya produce present Dukkha Sitya? How can you understand? It is impossible. If you do not understand past Samudaya Sitya produce present Dukkha Sitya, then you cannot understand dependent origination. If you do not understand dependent origination, in Nidhana, Mahanidhana Sutta, Buddha says you cannot escape from the round of rebirth. If you understand by three types of prajna or two types of anubodha in Pativeda Jnanas. Anubodha Jnana means especially Nama Rupa Parichida Jnana in Pichya Briga Jnana. Defining ultimate materiality and mentality, discerning cause and condition. These two types of knowledge are called Nama Rupa Parichida Jnana in Pichya Briga Jnana. Pativeda Jnana means the systematic vipassana insight knowledges and path and fruition knowledge. These are called Pativeda Jnana. If you cannot penetrate this dependent origination by these two types of Anubodha Jnana and Pativeda Jnana, then you cannot escape from the round of rebirth. This is Buddha's teaching in Mahanidhana Sutta. Quoting this Mahanidhana Sutta, commentators also says, there is no one who escaped from the round of rebirth without understanding the dependent origination, even in a dream. Even in a dream, there is no one who escapes from the round of rebirth without understanding the dependent origination. So because of this reason, if you want to understand dependent origination or the noble truth of the origin of suffering, then you must discern past causes. Samudaya Sitya. So, how you should discern? After discerning ultimate materiality and mentality in time of birth, linking my moment, Then you should continue to this ultimate materiality in mentality in previous life. In previous life, there is death consciousness by moment. At that time also, there are ultimate materiality in mentality. This death by moment in this present life, birth linking by moment, these two mind moments are without interval. There is no interval between these two. So they are close to each other, only one mind moment only. So if you can discern this, ultimate materiality and mentality in time of birth linking moment, then please continue to discern ultimate materiality and mentality in time of death, death consciousness mind moment in past life. Then please continue to discern before death consciousness mind moment, ultimate materiality and mentality. When you are discerning in this way, slowly you will see near death moment, there is one type of cognitive process called Maranasana Javana Viti. In that death proximate mind cognitive process, what is the object of that cognitive process? When you are descending ultimate materiality and mentality, near that moment, at that time you can see the object of that proximate cognitive process, that object is very important to discern past causes. So in this case, I want to explain with examples, at that time you will understand clearly. One meditator, when he is discerning ultimate materiality and mentality, after discerning but linking mind moment of ultimate materiality and mentality, he continued to discern ultimate materiality and mentality in time of death in previous life. What did he see? At the time, he saw dead bodies. What are dead bodies? These dead bodies, he do not understand well. Sorry. I want to repeat again. When he is descending in this ultimate materiality mentality near that moment in past life, he saw one elephant is offering flowers to the chidiya, lotus flowers. Again he descend four elements in that elephant. Then he can see ultimate materiality and mentality, especially he emphasized that elephant's heart base. When he is emphasizing that elephant's heart base, he can discern ultimate materiality and mentality. What did he see? At the time, that elephant is offering lotus flowers to the one of Chidiya in the forest. When offering these lotus flowers to the Chidiya, that elephant always wished for to become bhikkhu. This is his wish. So at that time, if he understand as a bhikkhu, this is ignorance. Wrong understanding. If he had attachment to the bhikkhu life, this is called craving. Repeated craving is called clinging. So vijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, upadana, clinging, three defilement rounds. Then he offered lotus flowers to the Chidiya. When offering lotus flowers to the Chidiya, there are 34 mental formations. These 34 mental formations are called Sankhara formations. They can produce new existence. They have power. That power is called karmic force. So altogether there are five causes. Vijja, Tanha, Upadana, Sankhara, and Kama. After discerning these five causes, again, after discerning Kama pose, then he tried to see birth linking in this very life. Birth linking mind moment, Parisanti mind moment. At that time, there is ultimate materiality. He tried to see coming forth as well as ultimate maturity in time of birth linking moment again and again. Then he saw this coming forth produced in this very life, birth linking mind moment, ultimate materiality. In the same way, when he trying to discern, because of ultimate mentality of birth linking mind moment, in the same way also he can see this coming forth produced by aggregates in this very life, in the internal birth linking mind moment. So, after that, I teach him to discern, to continue ultimate materiality and mentality power up to second past life. When he is discerning ultimate materiality and mentality in this way up to second past life, in second past life, near death moment, he saw dead bodies. Dead bodies. What are these dead bodies? Again, he continued to discern. At that time, he was a king in second past life. As a king in battlefield, he defeated enemies. He killed many people. These dead bodies, in time of death, appear in his mind. Taking these dead bodies as object, he began elephant in past past life. What is the relationship between dead body and elephant? Because at that time, in ancient time, when they are fighting to each other in battlefield, they use elephants. Because of this reason, in his mind, elephant pictures before dead moment appear. So his mind also inclined to elephant's life. Dead bodies also appear because of his unwholesome karma, which he killed many people. These dead bodies he kills. So because of this reason, this Panaripada, killing beings, unwholesome karma, produce elephant's life. But inclination is because of he use always elephants when he fighting to others. Because of this reason, his mind also inclined to become elephant. Because of his unwholesome karma, there must be one type of inclination at that time. These are five causes. Five causes means, if he understand as elephant, this is wrong understanding, ignorance. Attachment to the elephant like, this is craving. Repeated attachment is called Upadana clinging. Clinging to other beings, this is called Ahosa Sankara formations. But these formations, as soon as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. But they left behind the karmic force. That karmic force is called karma. Altogether, there are five past causes. Avijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, Upadana clinging, Sankara formations, and karma, karmic force. All together, five causes. These five causes produce to be reborn as an elephant. So when this elephant understand to offer flowers to, lotus flowers to the chidiya, because proximate life. In previous life, as a king, he is also Buddhist. Because of this reason, he had a lot of confidence in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Life also very close. So because of this reason, he understand, he remember his past life. Because very close life. There's no interval between two lives. So he always remember. So this avijja, tanha, upadana, sankhara, karmas are the noble truth of the origin of suffering, samudaya siddha. Five aggregates in time of birth, linking mind moment are dukkha siddha, the noble root of suffering. In the same way, along the life, there are also many five aggregates in every mind moment. In each mind moment, there are also five aggregates. Usually, this wholesome or unwholesome karmas produce these five aggregates. Usually means Some five aggregates are produced by other karmas also in terms of the along the course of life, bodhi. So because of this reason, we can say some. In this way, if you can take some past causes in this way, then future causes also you must try to understand. In future, you should also discern ultimate meriyati mentality in this life forward, up to the end of this life. Then in time of death, if you not yet attain rahatship, then one type of sign, we call karma or karma nimitta or kati nimitta. One of the three signs will appear. Then taking these three signs as object, then there will be death consciousness mind moment. After death consciousness mind moment, then new existence will appear. Then in the same way, you should try to discern cause and effect. In time of death mind moment, for example, if you practice anapana diligently up to that jhana or fourth jhana stage, if you also attain sotapanna stage, for example, that jhana also not fall down up to that moment. And then you re-establish that jhana in time of death. Then your death proximate cognitive process will realize anapanna paribhaga nimitta or kasina. Maybe if you practice kasina, then kasina object. Taking this kasina object or anabana paribhaga nimitta object, then your marnasana javana will arise. After that, there may be death consciousness, then you will reborn in Brahmavar. If you reborn in Brahmavar, you can discern ultimate materiality and mentality in the same way up to that moment of that Brahma life. Then, in the same way, you should continue to discern ultimate materiality and mentality. One day, you can see last life, last existence. If you see last existence in terms of death mind moment, or before death mind moment stage, Maranasana Javana stage, you will not, your Maranasana Javana will take no object. You cannot see any object. After death consciousness, finish, then there will be nothing. Nothing means, after final cessation, you cannot see any new existence. New five aggregates, you cannot see. This is a final cessation stage. Up to that stage, you must practice. Why? In Mahasri Bhana Sutta, Buddha taught, causal rising and causal passing away. Because of the rising of causes, five aggregates arise. Because of the complete cessation of five causes, five aggregates also cease completely without remainder. You must try to see this complete cessation of five aggregates. When you should try to see, especially when you are practicing dependent origination, at that time also you should try to see. When you practice vipassana, when you reach Uriyabhya Jnana stage, at that time also you must try to see this complete cessation stage. This is necessary. This is also Buddha taught in Taittiriya Sutta of Anguttara Nikaya, etc. This way of teaching is called Pati. In some suttas, it is called Pati Loma Paticca Samuppada. Now, early in the morning, you are reciting Avijja Avijja Sankhara Sankhara Avijja Avijnana. This is Anuloma Paticca Samuppada. Again, you recite Avijja Nirodha Sankhara Nirodha Sankhara Nirodha Avijnana Nirodha. This is complete cessation stage. This is Pati Loma Bhagava. Complete cessation of God, because of the complete cessation of causes, effects also cease completely without remainder. This cessation state also you must try to see. That cessation state is present or future. Present or future, final cessation. Now you are not yet cease completely without remainder. That cessation stage will be in future, in this life or in coming future existence. One, within one life, that cessation state will appear, not present moment. So because of this reason, future also necessary to discern. Because in Mahasri Prana Sutta, Buddha taught to discern. Samudhiya dhamma nubhasiwa kaya same viharati. Vaya dhamma nubhasiwa kaya same viharati. Samudhiya vaya dhamma nubhasiwa kaya same viharati. I had explained him last night. Because of the rising of five causes, five aggregates arise. This is called causal arising. Because of the complete cessation of five causes, five aggregates cease completely with the remainder. This is called causal passing away. That complete cessation state also, when you are practicing Uriyabhya Jnana, inside knowledge, other than you must practice. So it is necessary. This is future only. Do you understand? Oh, very quick. Now nearly 9 hours. Huh? Today, let us stop here. Then, next week, I will continue this dependent origination again. Now, today, let us start question answer. Oh, many. Many questions.
As Sadhoji just said, there are many questions. In fact, what I'm holding is only part of it. There are more than 30 questions. Also, we have taken the liberty to edit some of the questions for clarity and for language understanding. Some questions are very long. There's a question, one page. Question one, how can noble silence help us in our meditation? I notice more and more people have started to talk.
Is it true? If you talk too much, these ideas will visit to your mind while you are meditating. Other than you cannot concentrate well. Is it true? So because of this reason, noble silence is very good. But there are also another way of talking. If you do not talk to others, sometimes you talk to yourself. This is very bad. Some meditators told me it is very easy not to talk to others. But it is not easy not to talk to himself. Is it true? So, how you should try? Other than, please try counting. Counting way, if you practice anapana. Anapana sati bhaveta bhavita gupichidhaya. To remove discursive thinking, you should practice anapana diligently. But when you are practicing anapana, there is still many wandering minds. At that time, commentary suggests to try counting breath. Counting breath is very helpful. But for some meditators, when they are practicing anapana, they don't want to count because they are very lazy. Very lazy to count. So because of this, counting is not helpful to him. If he focus on the breath object, it is very good. Okay, you can try. Then again, they report. They cannot concentrate well. Many wandering minds. So I suggest them, please try counting. Counting is very helpful. So noble silence is very good. When you are meditating as a group, some meditators, they want to be noble silence. But some meditators are talking too much. They disturb to others. Because of this reason, they complain too much. So, I also want to tell you, please try not to talk. If you are talking too much, then your concentration cannot develop further. I notice more and more people have started talking. Is it true? Maybe true, I think so. So please stop talking. Yeah? Okay.
Second question looks more like a statement. It is noticed that the majority of the participants look like they are mourning. Mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning. It is understandable if they are here for the first 3 days. As for those who have overcome the pains, they should look joyful, jubilant, and exultant, enjoying the spiritual life and light-heartedness. Noble silence is the rule, but that does not mean one has to look so serious and sad. Look at Pa'ao Sayado as he walks in and out. It's a good example of how contented he is. But there's only one Pa'ao Sayado. That one is my interpretation. For those who do not meditate but excel in chanting, what would be their benefit? And this is the question. For those who do not meditate but excel in chanting, what would be their benefit?
If they emphasize chanting, concentration time will be less. So occasionally chanting is Buddha also permit. For example, Metta Sutta chanting, Khanda Brahita chanting, etc. Occasionally is very good. Occasionally means when there is any problem, at that time, if they recite chanting, it is better. Problem means to protect snakes. Buddha also teach forest dweller bhikkhus to chant Khanda Brahita every day. This is only for short time only. In the same way, if any other spirits disturb to you, at that time also you can chant Metta Sutta, etc. So this is for temporary only. But if you emphasize chanting low, then concentration time will become less. If concentration time become less, or meditation time become less, if you cannot meditate well, then concentration cannot develop further. If concentration cannot develop further, then you cannot attain excess concentration or jhana concentration. If you cannot attain excess concentration or jhana concentration, then you cannot understand ultimate meditation and ultimate mentality as they really are. If you do not understand ultimate meditation and ultimate mentality as they really are, then you cannot practice vipassana systematically. Because this ultimate meditation, ultimate mentality and their causes are the object of vipassana. If you cannot practice vipassana systematically, then you cannot realize nibbana. So if you want to realize nibbana, then you should emphasize samatha and vipassana, or three types of training. Three training of bhaju, the training of morality, the training of concentration, and the training of wisdom. Sila sikha, samadhi sikha, and pinya sikha.
Next question. Do we need a perfectly quiet place to meditate? I'm sure most of us do not own a half-acre bungalow lot to meditate. Most of us live in link houses, apartments or flats, where noise is inevitable. A little beep from a watch, a cough or sneeze, slight movement of a chair by right should not upset a meditator. We have to be aware of the surroundings, but take noise as background sounds and keep on concentrating on our breath. Even in the forest, we get sounds of birds and insects and streams of running water. So, do we really need perfect silence to meditate? Do we really need perfect silence to meditate? That's the question.
Perfect silence is not easy, it is true. Because in the forest, there are also sounds of animals also. But usually for many meditators, they told me the sounds of animals are not disturbed to them. If they like the sounds of animals, but some meditators, they don't like. the sounds of some animals such as dog, kaku, dog, kaku, kegu, kegu. So such sounds also they don't like, they afraid, especially rats. They disturb a lot. By day, maybe something in the forest, so they don't like. So because of this reason, complete silence is not easy. Although it is not easy, quiet place, Buddha also referred to meditate in a quiet place or secluded place. It is very good for attaining concentration. Because of this reason, Saddha Gandagatta Janasa, in this way, Buddha taught. Saddha Gandagatta Janasa, Jana, sound is the tone of Jana. Do you understand? Tone. So, tone attack to your body, when tone attack to your body, you feel pain. In the same way, when sound attack to your ear, then concentration fall down. Even Benarive Mahamoglana also same problem. After attaining Rahathood, one day Benarive Mahamoglana entering into Anicca Samapatti. Anicca Samapatti means especially referring Vijnanicca Yirana Jhana, the base of boundless consciousness jhana. And Agenchenya Yarana Jhana, the base of nothingness, consciousness, Jhana. These two types of jhanas he is entering. At that time, he practiced this meditation near the Dabodha River. In the Dabodha River, Kain Bhimisara's elephants are playing in the river. When they are playing in the river, they attack to each other. There are many shoutings. These sounds he hear within his attainment, jhana attainment. So one day he approached to the Buddha and informed this problem. At that time, Buddha explained one story, Bhikkhu Saddhi, Buddha's experience. Bhikkhu Saddhi, the story of Bhikkhu Saddhi appeared in Mahaparinibbana Sutta also. One day Bhikkhu Saddhi entered into eight attainments, eight types of jhanas, under a tree. Nearby there is 500 bullockers are going through his place. Many dust covered on his the whole body, but he did not hear these sounds because his concentration is very deep at that time. So when your concentration is very deep at that time, these sounds will not disturb to you. But before your concentration is not yet deep enough, at that time sound may disturb to your ear or to your mind. But please be patient because everywhere there is sound. Even night time also, there are many insects are shouting. If you carefully listen, then you can hear these sounds. So because of this reason, please don't care. To concentrate on your meditation object is very important. When your concentration deep enough, then you cannot hear any sound. But Buddha explains his experience also. One day he is walking on his walking path to improve. At that time, while walking, he entered into Samapatti, at one attainment. At the corner of his walking path, there are farmers plowing their fields. On that day, Mandabulas attacked these farmers and cows. Farmer also died. Cows also dying, goats also dying. But he did not hear this thunder sound. His concentration is very deep. While walking, At that time, he did not hear these songs. So please try to attain deep concentration. Song will not disturb to your mind. Okay?
Next question. Has Nimitta been taught by the Buddha before? Some said that the Visuddhi Magga are just commentary from a learned scholar who talked about his point of view, not an actual teaching of the Buddha. Some Theravada traditions also reject Abhidhamma as an actual teaching of Buddha, claiming either he did not teach in the human realm, or the actual Abhidhamma text are distorted after different versions of translation. What is your comment? Since Abhidhamma is very important for the practice of arahantship, why didn't Buddha teach the text freely to humans? I repeat. Has Nimitta been taught by the Buddha before? Some said that the Visuddhi Magga are just commentaries from a learned scholar who talked about his point of view, not an actual teaching of the Buddha. Some Theravada traditions also reject Abhidhamma as an actual teaching of Buddha, claiming either he did not teach in the human realm, or the actual Abhidhamma texts are distorted after different versions of translation. What is your comment? Since Abhidhamma is very important for the practice of arahantship, why didn't Buddha teach the text freely to humans?
No, many meditators are practicing anapana. Many meditators see anapana nimitta. This is actual on, no? So Buddha also sees samatha nimitta only. What is samatha nimitta? In time of Buddha, many listeners, they understand clearly samatha nimitta. So if they understood what is samatha nimitta, abhyaga nimitta, etc. in this way Buddha taught. If they understood already, it is not necessary to explain in detail. If they do not understand well, at the time, explanation will be arise. But in the time of Buddha also, sometimes some Mahatheras, they approach to the Buddha and ask many questions. At the time also, Buddha explain in detail. The detailed explanations are called Pakainaka Desna, miscellaneous talks in the time of Buddha. These Pakainaka Desna, when Venerable Mahamahendra went to Sri Lanka, he carried this Pakainaka Desna also. This Pakainaka Desna later, they call Mula Attagatha, original commentary. When Venerable Mahamahendra went to Sri Lanka, he carried together this Mula Attagatha, original commentary. But when he teach these Pali texts as well as Mula original commentaries to Sri Lanka bhikkhus, he understood they cannot recite these two Pali texts and commentaries for a long time. Because of this reason, he translate this original commentary into Sinhalese. That translation is called Maha Attagatha, Great Commentary. Later, Sri Lanka Mahatheras, such as Mahabrahma Thera, etc., they are arhats. They put some stories in Sri Lanka, some stories of Sri Lanka Mahatheras. They openly put in the commentary, this is Mahasuma Thera's idea, this is Mahasuma Thera's idea, this is Avya Thera's idea, etc. In this way, they openly put in commentaries. So because of this reason, these explanations, Panariva Mahabuddha Gosa combined together within one book. Within one book means Pali texts are nowadays there are more than 42. More than 40. The commentaries are more than 60. So, in ancient times, books are also not available. Only writings on palm leaf. So, to study these Pali texts and commentaries is not easy for ancient times, for ancient bhikkhus. Because of this reason, they ask Venerable Buddha Gosa to write or to compose one book for meditation. So Venerable Buddha Gosa composed Visuddhi Magga, depending on different types of Pali texts as well as different ancient commentaries. There is no his own idea. So in these ancient commentaries about Anapana Nimitta, etc., mentioned already, these explanations are hinted from the Buddha's time. Because of this reason, although Venerable Buddha Gosa composed Visuddhi Magga, this is not his own idea. He openly confessed in his introduction, this is not his own idea. This is explanations he carried out from different types of ancient commentaries. So this is mentioned in different types of commentaries, ancient commentaries. These explanations are also hinted down from the time of Buddha only. So we can say this is also Buddha also indirectly explained about Anapana, Paribhaga, Nimitta, etc. But practical experience is very important. Now many meditators are practicing, they can see Anapana, Paribhaga, Nimitta. So this experience is very important. They don't want to accept Anapana, Paribhaga, Nimitta because they never practice Anapana systematically up to successful stage. Because of this reason, they criticize too much only. So, your own experience very important. If you practice Anapana, if you see Nimitta, this is your own experience. It is not necessary to reject. Because you can directly see this Anapana, Paribhaga, Nimitta. So, because of this reason, it is not necessary to argue with commentaries. Another is whether this is a dual teaching of the Buddha or not. It is also not necessary to investigate because you can practice thoroughly and you can see Anapana, Paribhaga, Nimitta. So in commentaries also, ancient commentaries also mentioned about this Anapana, Paribhaga, Nimitta. The Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma, they think Buddha do not teach in human world. It is not true. Every day, Buddha came down to the human world for his meal. After meal, when he is taking his food, other than Venerable Sariputta always served to the Buddha. After meal, Buddha always taught Venerable Sariputta this Abhidhamma, which he had already taught in the Tavarinsa Deva. So Venerable Sariputta again, he taught this Abhidhamma to his 500 disciples. So every day they are doing in this way. So because of this reason, Abhidhamma also taught Buddha to human beings, but when Buddha taught Abhidhamma in Tavarinsa, Deva well, because they will understand well. In human world also Buddha, in a short way, Buddha taught Abhidhamma. For example, in Patsamo Dhamma Chaka Bodhana Sutta, Buddha taught Four Noble Truths. When he is teaching, when he was teaching the Four Noble Truths, he emphasized Abhidhamma. Oh, what is the noble truth of the suffering? Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, illness is suffering, death is suffering. Being dissociated with pleasant is suffering. Being associated with unpleasant is suffering. Not to get what one wants is suffering. In short, in brief, five aggregates of clinging are suffering. What are five clinging aggregates? The listeners, when they listen this Dhamma talk, especially Venerable Kuntinya, when Buddha taught Sankhitena Pinchu Bharana Khanda Dukha, in brief, five aggregates of clinging are dukkha. He understood already. If he understood already, it is not necessary to explain in detail, because he already understood. Why he already understood? He had fulfilled his parami, 100,000 aeons, beginning from the time of Brahmudra Buddha. Padumurra Buddha appears in this world when human lifespan 100,000 lifespan time. At that day, he practiced Samatha Vipassana diligently under the guidance of Padumurra Buddha. He practiced Vipassana up to Sankharupaka Jnana stage, the knowledge of equanimity towards formations. Because of this reason, he already understood what is ultimate materiality, what is ultimate mentality, what is their causes, what are their causes. He already understood. He can contemplate these formations as nature, dukkha, and anatta up to the knowledge of equanimity towards formations. Not only once, for how many years? Not 30 days. 100,000 years. So he bred this diligently, 100,000 years. Not only in the time of Brahmudra Buddha, but between these 100,000 aeons, whenever he meet with Buddha's dispensation, he always bred this samatha vipassana. So because of this parami, when Buddha taught, in brief, five clinging aggregates are suffering, dukkha, sija, he quickly understood. If he can understood quickly, then it is necessary to explain in detail. Not necessary. For those who do not understand, we must explain in detail. For those who do not understand, we must explain in detail, but for those who understand already, it is not necessary to explain in detail. If we explain in detail, it will be waste of time only. So it is not necessary. In the same way, the other four bhikkhus, they practice according to this Dhammacakka Bodhana Sutta's instruction. They understood five aggregates. They understood dependent origination. They can contemplate these formations as nature, dukkha, and anatta. Systematically, because of this reason, one by one they also became sotapannas, stream winners. On the fifth day, Buddha taught anatta lakkhana sutta. When they are listening anatta lakkhana sutta, they all became arahats. In anatta lakkhana sutta, Buddha asked to them many questions. Rupa is, rupa adime, materiality is nature, pamene or impermanent. They answer impermanent. Why? They already understood ultimate materiality. They already understood ultimate materiality is nature, impermanent. In the same way, Buddha asked, if the ultimate materiality is nature, impermanent, then it is sukha or dukkha. They replied, oh, Bhinaribhasa, this is dukkha. If it is nature, dukkha, they are always changing, then it can be said, this is, they are adda. No, they are nada. In this way, Buddha asked many questions, five aggregates. Then Buddha taught them, Dasamadiha bhikkhu yangichi rupa dita nagata bishopana ija dhamma bhidhamma olari gamma sukumamma hinamma bhidhamma yandure sandigewa sabha rupa nidhamma nisoha masami namiso adhati eva medha yatha buddha sama binyaya dadhapa. In this way he instruct to contemplate vipassana. What is the meaning? Whatever kind of materiality there is, whether past, present, future, or internet or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, all these 11 types of materiality you must contemplate as nature, dukkha, and another. In this way, Buddha taught. They can contemplate these 11 types of ultimate materiality as nature, dukkha, and another, systematically. In the same way, the other four mental aggregates also Buddha taught. They can contemplate all five aggregates as nature, dukkha, anatta in the same way. Because of this reason, they became arahats. If they understood up to arahat stage, it is not necessary to explain what are five aggregates. It is necessary? Not necessary. This is a waste of time only. So, abhijama is very important for those who do not understand what are five aggregates. You are practicing vipassana or samatha or vipassana. If you want to practice vipassana, five aggregates are the object of vipassana. The dependent originations are, the factors of the dependent originations are the object of vipassana. Ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, and their causes are called sankhara formations. These formations are the object of vipassana. You must contemplate them as anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Such type of contemplation is called vipassana only. If you do not understand what is ultimate materiality, what is ultimate mentality, what are the patterns of dependent origination, if you practice vipassana, then your vipassana will be only just superficial, not real vipassana. So because of this reason, if you want to practice vipassana, if you do not understand what is ultimate materiality, then you must learn under the guidance of teacher. If you do not understand what is ultimate mentality, then you must learn under the guidance of teacher. It is necessary. My meaning is, you should learn all Abhidhamma books. I do not mean like that. My meaning is, you must try to understand what is ultimate materiality, what is ultimate mentality, what are the factors of dependent origination, how we should try to discern this ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, and the factors of the dependent origination factors. Such type of learning is necessary, because without learning, you cannot penetrate this ultimate materiality, mentality, and their causes. So under the guidance of teacher, you should try to understand this ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, and their causes. And then you should again try to understand them by your own direct knowledge. Learning knowledge alone is not enough. You must also try to understand this sankhara formations by your own direct knowledge. At that time only you can practice vipassana systematically. If you can practice vipassana systematically up to pad-improving knowledge stage, at that time only you can realize nibbana. If you realize Nirvana at that time, we can say you understood Four Noble Truths. But if you attain Arhat stage, at that time only we can say you understood Four Noble Truths fully. But when you are practicing Vipassana, if you begin only just Sotapanna, then we can say you understood Four Noble Truths partially only. So now, Naitadi. Many questions are still next week. Okay. Sharing merit. Idame Bonya Asawakya Waha Hodu Idame Bonya Neba Nasa Pachyo Hodu Idame Bonya Saba Sadana Bhajima Tisabe Mesama Punya Bhagam Labandu Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.